Hebrews 11 starts out with explaining what faith is. Then it continues on with several examples of what faith is. Now, just a disclaimer before I continue. You know, these examples are implicit, meaning they're not explicit in what faith is. When we look at these examples, we hope to draw from what's implied. What is faith? And we look at an example of what faith is, and we have a better understanding of what faith is. And we have three examples today. We have the example of Moses crossing the Red Sea, the walls of Jericho falling down, and a prostitute named Rahab being saved. And we'll take a look at those three examples and implicitly try to draw out, what is faith? Is faith simply just believing really hard? And if you don't believe hard enough, you don't have enough faith. Is that what faith is? And Tamal was up here preaching a little bit, saying, no, that's not what faith is. That faith isn't just simply, you didn't believe hard enough. You know, it wasn't because Kayla, my sister-in-law, she didn't believe hard enough, or her family didn't believe hard enough, that she's still suffering from she's suffering chronic illness from since she was born. I say that because sometimes it does seem that way. It seems like if you share, you know, hey, I'm going through some stuff, and somebody that's Christian might come back to you and say, hey, you're not believing hard enough. Okay, that's the last time I'm sharing with you. No, but I've actually had that happen to me. Have you had that happen to you before? I shared this story, but I'm going to share it with you guys again. But, I'll share the story. So I was suffering it was Saturday night, and my tooth was just throbbing. I mean, it was throbbing to the point where up here, it felt like an ear infection. You know, it's like the whole side of my face was just throbbing. And the only way that I could have any relief was if I took a sip of water for some reason. So the whole night, I'm taking sips of water and moaning. It hurt so bad that I had to moan. It's like, oh, because that gave me relief. I've seen that before, and I'm like, you know, it never clicked on me that moaning somehow gives us relief when it hurts that bad. Anyways, if that's how bad it hurt. I think I shared it on Sunday because I had church Sunday, and I was speaking that's what I'm struggling with. Please pray with me. And then after Sunday, somebody came up to me and said, hey, you know why you're suffering? It's because you don't have enough faith. I was like, okay, thank you. And the next day I went to the hospital or dentist, and they had enough faith and they healed me. But, you know, sometimes faith, we take faith to think that, oh, you got to believe hard enough and it'll come to you. Or whatever you're believing in, it'll come to you. And I think there is an element of truth to that. But I don't think that is truth in itself. I think that's just perhaps a fruit out there, but I don't think that's the core of what faith is. And here are some examples of what faith is. It says in verse 29, by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. This crossing of the Red Sea, most of you have heard of it, and most of you know the story. It's one of the most, if not the most, historically significant event that takes place for Israel. This represents freedom from bondage of slavery, and even in the New Testament, this event is seen as an equivalent to, say, baptism, or becoming saved. And it has come to represent for us as Christians freedom from sin. That Egypt represents sin, the world, And crossing the Red Sea, going to the other side, represents a departure from that. Of course, obviously, this historically was a supernatural event, where when Israel was let go of, I'm just going to give you a little summary, you know, they had the plagues, and finally Pharaoh said, you know what, leave, get out of here. We don't want to see you anymore. And Israel, they leave. And as they're leaving, Pharaoh regrets his decision and says, you know what? Let's go after the Israelites. Let's get back our slaves. And so Israel is on one side. There's the Red Sea or the Reed Sea. And then there's Pharaoh and his army chasing them down. Now there was a moment where there was a reprieve because the Lord stood in between Israel and Pharaoh, but they knew that was going to lift. So as Israel was stuck, they started complaining to Moses, and Moses decides to give up. Just kidding, that's not how it goes. What does Moses do? I think he raises his hands. Pharaoh, I give up. No, just kidding. No, he raises his hand. He says, God, I give up. Now, with the idea that faith is simply believing really hard and getting what you're believing for, I just want to say that wasn't the case here. That was not the case here. I don't think anyone in Israel's camp was thinking, Moses, you got to believe really hard that the sea will split in two. Believe really hard. Let's all collectively believe really hard that the sea is going to split in two. And in fact, I don't think anyone in Israel expected the sea to split in two. They were probably thinking, hey, call down another plague. Call down the angel of death. Or let's call upon the angel of death. Let's do this, let's do that. You know, I'm sure there were some suggestions out there, but I don't think anyone in that group is saying, you know what, let's believe really hard so that God splits the ocean or sea in two. I don't think that's what happened. I think what happened was Moses was stressed out. People were complaining. And Moses didn't know what to do, and he said, I give up! No, just kidding. And then Moses didn't know what to do. And then God spoke to Moses. And then God tells Moses, hey, lift up your staff. And Moses says, you know what? There's nothing more I could do. So he lifts up his staff. He just surrenders to God. Okay, whatever, God. This is what you want me to do. This is what I'm going to do. And when Moses lifts up his staff, because he had faith, not that his staff will open the sea in two, but he had faith that when God says something, you ought to do it. You ought to trust God enough to obey what he tells you to do, no matter how ridiculous it may seem. And he did it. And when he does, God moves in a supernatural way. The sea opens and they walk through. Now, I don't think the Egyptians were saying, I don't think when the Egyptians drowned, I don't think the situation was they didn't believe hard enough that the ocean, that the sea was going to stay parted. I don't think that was the case. Their lack of faith wasn't that the sea was going to close down on them, and then it happened. I hear that sometimes. I hear that, you know what? What you believe is going to come to you. And then I think there's a whole book about that, right? I'm not even going to say it. But anyways, like 20 years, 15 years ago, there was a book called, you know, whatever you believe, it like sends out the message to the universe, and the universe gives you what you believe, if it, whether it's good or bad. And, you know, maybe that is true. Who am I to say that's not true? Maybe that is true. But here, faith, that's not what faith is here. Not in this situation. Not in this example that we see in Hebrews 11:29 with the Red Sea. That's not what was happening. When it said they lacked faith, when Egyptians lacked faith and they drowned, it wasn't because they believed something bad was going to happen to them. I think when they lacked faith is they didn't trust God. Their faith wasn't in God. Clearly, Pharaoh knew that God wanted Israel to be free. He knew. There was back and forth, and God knew that finally, that this was, Pharaoh knew that this was God's will, that they would be free. But he did not trust God enough to let them go. And I think that's why he lacked faith. He didn't trust God to let them go, and because he didn't do that, he chased them and tried to cross the Red Sea, and the Red Sea closed on him. So I believe faith isn't simply just believing really hard that it will happen. It's, I believe in God, so I will trust and obey God. Trust and obey God. We sang that song, trust and obey, trust and obey, there's no other way. And that looks different for everyone. You can't make a formula out of trusting and obeying God. Because in this next example, as we move on, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they received, or after they had been encircled for 7 days. Most of us, we know this story. When the walls of Jericho fell down, it wasn't Joshua taking a staff and holding it up like Moses did. I'm sure there were some people in the group that remembered Moses' story, told Joshua, hey, Joshua, you know, when I was young, I saw Moses lift up his hand and open the sea. And Joshua, remember the time you were fighting? I don't know if you know this, but every time Moses lifted up his hands, you guys started to win. And every time his hands went down, you guys started to lose. And so finally, Moses had to lift his hands up the whole time, and he got so tired, his two friends had to come and help him lift his hands up. And we won the battle because Moses lifted up his hands. Hey, Joshua, I got an idea. You see that great big wall? We should all go in front of it, lift up our hands, believe really hard, and I bet you the walls will fall down. And if it doesn't, it's because we lacked faith. No, that's not what happened. That isn't what happened. In fact, what happened was, I'm sure there was a lot of pressure for Joshua to do things like Moses did. And I'm sure there was a lot of pressure for Moses to do things perhaps like Abraham did. And I'm sure there's a lot of pressure for you and I to do things like other Christians have done. We like to make things easy. We like to, make it into a formula. If you do A, B, then you'll get C. Sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. Here, Joshua gets instruction from the Lord. And his instructions from the Lord, in terms of, we're ready to go into battle against an army that are the size of giants and we look like grasshoppers to them. This is the kind of war they're about to get into. And the Lord tells Joshua, okay, first thing you need to do is circumcise yourself. And all the men are like, what? We're about to go into like this physical warfare and you want us to do that? That's just gonna, you know, we kind of want to be fresh when we fight, Lord. But that's what the Lord said. You need to, first thing you need to do is circumcise yourself. And after you do that, and after a time of waiting, then I'm going to give you more instruction. And finally, the last instruction the Lord gives to Joshua is, you know what that element of surprise thing in combat? That's actually a little overrated. You want to actually declare yourself to be there and circle around their huge walls 7 times and make a lot of noise on the 7th time so that they know you're actually there. And then you want to fight. Imagine getting those instructions. Now, I'm not like a military strategist, but I don't think that's a good military strategy. In fact, Joshua was thinking, you know what? Maybe that Moses idea is probably a good idea. Moses did it, it worked for him. And when he did it, God moved. So maybe if I do it, God will move. But Joshua didn't do that. He trusted. He trusted God. You know, I've seen God move. I trust Him. If He tells me to do something, no matter how impractical, no matter how ridiculous, no matter how much of a hole that may put me into, no matter how foolish I may look, no matter how many complaints and criticism I get for doing what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it because God told me to do it and I trust God. And trusting and obeying, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There's no other way. Goes the song. And so he does. He trusts God. I've been with you long enough to know that if you tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. It wouldn't be the way I would have done it. But since you're telling me to do it, I'm going to do it. You see that all throughout Scripture, though. Not just Joshua, not just Moses, not just Abraham, and not just all these people in this list of people, where they wouldn't have done it that way. But because God told them to do it that way, they did it and they received from God. See, you and I, we're sort of not like Joshua. We're not like Moses in many respects. In fact, their argument is, you're better than them. There's an argument that says that. Because why? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. God's Spirit is indwelling you. If you ask the Lord Jesus in your life. And with God's Spirit indwelling you, and because you have been set free, justified of sin, the idea is you can have a relationship with God and you can communicate with God. In fact, James says, whoever lacks wisdom should ask God. And I guess that in that case, you got to believe really hard. You ask God. But the thing is, James isn't saying if you ask God, God will make the situation better. No, it says if you ask God, then you have to believe that God will speak back to you and give you wisdom on what to do. And isn't that what is happening with Moses? Isn't that what happened with Joshua, David, Abraham, you name it? They asked the Lord replied back, and they trusted God enough to do what it is that the Lord asked them to do. Again, no matter how impractical, how foolish, how dangerous it might be, they did it. And because of that, they were commended. Joshua did exactly what Moses taught him to do. And more importantly, Joshua did what the Lord told him to do. Joshua trusted and obeyed. And so when the Lord told Joshua to march around the wall, a military blunder, in my opinion, because he obeyed. He marched 7 times, and the wall fell down inward. And they had a great victory. I think as Christians, we forget that the Lord is Jesus. Jesus is our Lord. Not forms, not formulas. As a church, we forget that sometimes. You know? As a church, we're always looking for the new thing on how to do church. Hey, that church across the street, they're doing this new thing, and it's really blessing their church. A lot of people are coming, blah, blah, blah. We need to do that. Because that's what it is. Whatever that is, you know. Should I be cynical? Should I like list off things that I get as a pastor saying, this is what you guys need to do for your church? You want me to be cynical? Alright. Well, no, you know, you have to have this. You have to have a small group. You have to have a vision statement. You have to have a healing service. You have to have whatever. If you have these things, God will bless your church. You know why? Because I saw another church do it, and God blessed that church. Now, I'm not saying that... Here's the dilemma, right? One, you got to be humble enough to go to all those churches and to consider those things. Because pride will chase away the Lord. I mean, God detests pride. So you have to be humble enough to know what all the other churches are doing and consider those things. And on the other hand, you need to trust and obey God. If God tells you to do it like that other church, then you do it like that other church. But if God tells you, you know what, the other church, they're doing that, and I want the other church to do that, but your church, I want your church to do this, whatever this may be, no matter how impractical this may be, no matter how dangerous this may be, how foolish, how much criticism you might get for doing this. If the Lord says to do this, guess what? And guess what this oftentimes requires? Sacrifice. Hey, but that other church, you know, that seems like a sure thing. And it doesn't seem to require any kind of sacrifice. Anyways, that's my cynicalness. Let's move on. Let me see. Okay, yeah. So, you know, if Joshua was a church, was a pastor, I'm sure a lot of pressure would have gone to Joshua and said, hey, you know, you want to lead us the right way? Guess what Moses did? Moses lifted up his hand every time he fought. Joshua didn't lift up his hand every time he fought. He lifted up his sword every time he fought. It looks different. It looks different. And the common denominator is faith, meaning they believed God, they trusted and obeyed him. The last example is probably the most common example of faith. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Rahab is, you guys know Rahab? Rahab is an interesting character. She's in more New Testament places than she ought to be. James mentions Rahab. Matthew mentions Rahab. I don't know why Rahab is so important. I think there's something about Rahab that is important. Anyway, she's a prostitute. She was in. She was part of a group that was disobedient, and but Rahab was spared. She eventually, allegedly, goes on to marry one of the two spies she hit, and then they have a kid. They have a child, and that child becomes a genealogical person within Jesus' genealogy. I don't know if you guys know that. So Rahab is one of the few women in Jesus' genealogy, and this is, she was a prostitute. That's pretty cool. Clearly, Rahab, in the eyes of most people, deserved to be perished. Deserved to perish. She was a prostitute. She was an enemy of her state. You know, she. In all accounts, she deserved to be perished. But because she believed strong enough she wouldn't perish, she didn't perish. No, that's not the case, actually. You know, I don't know why she didn't perish. But the story goes, she heard news about this God, of how great this God is, how powerful this God is. In fact, a lot of people heard news about this great, awesome God. And I don't know if she ever got a divine revelation like Joshua, Moses, but Rahab just simply heard that this God is an amazing, awesome God. And she said, you know what? If your God is really this great, and you guys are from that God, representing Him, I'm going to protect you. And she did. She protected the spies. And because of that faith that she had in an amazing God she didn't have a personal encounter with, but just heard about faintly, rumors of this amazing God, she is saved. And I'm sure she did have personal encounter maybe down the line with the Lord. In fact, she becomes a genie. She becomes part of the few people that's in the genealogy of the Lord. And Rahab's faith is probably more common than any of these other faiths. You've heard stories of this amazing God, this Jesus Christ. You may not have had a supernatural encounter with this Jesus Christ, but hundreds and hundreds of thousands, millions and billions will testify how great this God is. And if you simply just put your faith that this God is who He says He is, I believe God will spare your life as well. Spare our lives. It was her fear of God that led her to give a friendly welcome to the spies that spared her life. The fear of the Lord, I believe, is an important first step to life of faith. It is important never to forget that, the fear of the Lord, and perhaps to intentionally revisit the fear of the Lord, who He is, who we are in Him, that we could trust and walk in obedience with Him. As we close this service, I do invite you, if you do not know the Lord, if you haven't put your faith in Him, to consider that. If you've already put your faith in this God, if you've already done what Rahab has done, I encourage you to open your heart, your ears, and your eyes to what the Lord is speaking to you. Again, this is no form or formula, but I believe the Lord is speaking to each and every one of us individually. And it doesn't have to be something great. If you're not going through some crazy circumstances in your life, the Lord may just speak simply to you, continue to be faithful. That's great. Trust and obey that. The Lord may actually instruct you to return to your first love. That's what He did to one of the churches in the seven churches of Revelation. The Lord may instruct you in all these other things. Don't be lukewarm or something else of that nature. But I do believe that faith requires hearing. Faith comes from hearing, the scripture says. What is the Lord spoken to you? And what is He saying to you now? Let us pray. Is all believe hard enough that He'll speak to us? No. But let's believe that He'll speak to us. That's what James says. James says, if you come to Him for wisdom, He will give you wisdom. And if you don't believe He's going to give you wisdom, there's a problem there. Father, we come to You. Lord, we know, Jesus, when You walked, one of the most frustrating things that You faced was eyes to see and ears to hear, but they could not see or could not hear, and a heart that could not understand. Lord, we ask that You would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that understands. God, we know faith comes from hearing, and we want to hear Your voice. We want to know You more. I pray You will speak to each and every one of us, Lord. If it's an encouraging word we need to hear, I pray that we would receive that. You are loved. You are precious in My sight. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. If it's correction, I pray that we would receive that. When You seek me, You will find me. Lord, we don't want to miss an opportunity to hear from You. Lord, speak to our hearts, not just to our ears. In Jesus' name, amen.